Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 110. Alex Johnstone, you are running for city councilor in Ward 4. Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast.
Thank you.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Alex Johnstone, and I am a candidate running for Ward 4 City Councilor. I have been a public school board trustee, three times elected over the past 12 years. I am former HWDSB chair. I am a proud resident of Ward 4. I enjoy living in the community and with my partner, and I very much look forward to this election.
Why are you running?
Hamilton is the home and city that I love. It has offered me and my family incredible opportunities. My father and grandparents, and later my great-grandparents, came to Hamilton in the 60s. They were working class, very poor, unable to find jobs in Newcastle. Hamilton gave my grandfather employment in the steel mills, and my grandmother worked in clerical and retail jobs. My great-grandparents soon joined the family to take care of my father and his siblings while my grandparents worked. And they soon after, my great-grandparents became the live-in caregivers of the Wentworth Baptist Church. Hamilton is where I was born and where I lived during the first early years of my life. I grew up in rural Ontario and returned to the city to attend McMaster University. Hamilton is where I met the love of my life, and it has given us a home in an incredible community with the best neighbors, surrounded by fantastic small businesses in Bartonville. Hamilton has given me incredible employment opportunities at YWCA Hamilton, and then as a constituency assistant to former MP David Christofferson, and today as a social worker in healthcare. Hamilton is where I've had the privilege of being elected and reelected as school board trustee for the past 12 years, and where I had the opportunity to serve my fellow Hamiltonians as chair of HWDSB during the first half of the pandemic. Public service has been the best job in the best city. As a school trustee, I have enjoyed working with community members from across Hamilton on projects big and small, from standing with parents to fight to save W.H. Ballard and Rosedale schools, and not backing down on pushing the ministry to allow our board to use our own money to self-fund much-needed school renovations, to citywide issues like bringing forward a motion that made HWDSB a living wage employer. We became the first government body to do so in Ontario, and later as chair, leading our board to take $9.5 million out of our reserves during the first wave of the pandemic in order to hire more teachers, lower class sizes, purchase PPE, all to ensure a safer return to school. So, Joey, I am running because I love my community and the city, and because I absolutely love giving back and serving in the public servant role.
Do you live in Ward 4, yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
The straight answer is no. While I live in Ward 4, I am aware that many candidates do not. I believe it is important for an elected representative who knows and identifies with the community they seek to represent, and that they are strongly committed to working hard for local residents. While living in Ward 4 gives me advantages of knowing my neighbors and my community and personal experiences of the challenges and benefits, like the incredible parks and nature trails, to the upcoming construction of the LRT, which will be installed just a few meters from my own house. I recognize, though, that someone can be new to the community and still be fully invested, just like some of my neighbors on my street who are new to the area.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
In several areas. I'll start with public service. I have the experience of being an elected representative. For the past 12 years, I have served as a three-time elected public school board trustee, as well as chair of the board during the first half of this term. And in this role, I've had the opportunity to work with individuals from across Hamilton on a variety of projects, big and small. I've also contributed to our community through volunteering. So I'll cite that I'm actively involved in both the Rosedale and the more newly formed Bartonville Neighborhood Associations. And I've also had the opportunity to contribute to our community through my career, serving our community as a constituency assistant to MP David Christofferson, and today as a social worker in healthcare, connecting individuals to community resources.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 4 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
So my priorities are Ward 4 focused. My first priority is collective leadership. This includes creating a community council, if elected, in order to share in the decision-making with my fellow neighbors and community members. It also means contributing to functional city council. Too often, councilors fight amongst themselves and nothing gets done. As a city councilor, I will be focused on asking for a multi-year strategic plan on a variety of issues in order to ensure needs get met in a timely and efficient manner across the city and by extension, Ward 4. I will also be focused on housing and with housing, looking at the needs within our local community in Ward 4, but also across the city. Individuals are experiencing housing pressures where they cannot find places to rent, where they are experiencing homelessness, or where housing prices are simply outside of their budget. And so it's looking to ensure that we have housing supply in Hamilton to meet all of the needs. My priorities for the city remain the same.
What are three skills you will bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 4 on Hamilton City Council?
Experience, I am efficient, and I am energetic.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councilors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of the new councillors began voting against the continuing cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With all of this in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential and what information should be made public?
Trust is an issue and concern at all levels of government. And when I look at rebuilding trust among the public, I believe that starts with ongoing communication every step of the way. I believe that the community can handle tough news. I believe that we should be working together with the community to find solutions. In my role as school board trustee, that is one of the values that I certainly sought to bring forward. When I look at tough issues such as redrawing school boundaries, which can be highly disruptive to a school community, to the students, to the parents, to the staff, it rather than having just your expert report come forward where you have recommendations, it is inviting the community to be a part of the process every step in the way. You want to start with community engagement, asking for the community's ideas, because often and always the best ideas come from the community members themselves who live and experience the challenges as well as the benefits every single day. When I think about making reports public, I think about there is always the challenge between the concern of legal costs or other legal risks to the elected body versus the public's right to know information and right to be a part of the democratic process. It's about looking at governance as a relationship with the public. If there is a concern that legal risks will be too great, then you want to ensure that you're having that conversation with the community every step in the way. You want to ensure that you are fully looking for every alternative or every opportunity to make information public. If the elected body is not able to make information public, they need to have a very good reason why. More importantly, when information or doesn't come to public, it is the elected body's responsibility to ensure that the community knows what steps and actions are being taken with regards to an issue. I firmly believe that the community needs to be a part of not only being informed of concerns, but to be a part of the solution process.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations regarding how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when the commission releases its findings and recommendations?
As Ward 4 City Councilor, I intend to have a community council, and I would want to review that report with the community council. I would want to review recommendations with the community council and invite the community to be actively involved in the process, not only of the review, but the solutions. When I look at problems that we share together as a community, we all have an invested interest to ensure road safety. We all have an invested interest to ensure that we have a functioning level of governance at City Hall, and just to ensure that we have a democratic process where everyone feels that they are able to participate in. And that is where I believe that through a collective review of the report and its findings, as well as ensuring that the public has an opportunity to participate in determining solutions and next steps and continued monitoring.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 4 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
Ward 4 has a vibrant and spectacular community. It is the people of Ward 4 that make it unique and special. I have lived in communities across the city, in Westdale, in downtown Hamilton, Ancaster, and never before have I had such phenomenal neighbors. I know everyone on my street. We invite each other to barbecues. Some neighbors will cut each other's grass, assist each other when we are sick. It's a very vibrant and caring community in Ward 4 who is actively involved in supporting each other. That has been my experience there.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are three questions on this topic. The City of Hamilton is updating its outdated residential zoning bylaws. There are parts of Ward 4 which remain under the 1952 former City of Hamilton residential zoning bylaw. What is your vision for residential zoning in Ward 4?
As Ward 4 City Councilor, I would be striking a community council. And with that community council, I would invite them to look at inclusionary zoning. City of Toronto is the first city to pass an inclusionary zoning bylaw. I am very interested to see what the outcome is following their first year of having the bylaw passed, learning from their challenges as well as their benefits, and ideally introducing a motion here in Hamilton that would benefit from the learning from Toronto and hopefully introduce a motion that was incorporated that learning and was even stronger.
There are active planning applications within Ward 4 with differing views regarding if they represent appropriate intensification or not. Secondary dwelling units and the proposed redevelopment of the Delta Secondary School property are two examples of this. How will you balance the need to approve new housing, including rental housing, such as secondary dwelling units, while responding to concerns regarding development?
Across Hamilton and in Ward 4, all of us have felt the pressures of housing or know someone who has. We have family members who have struggled to find housing. We have children or we have parents who need to move due to changing needs, or we're concerned about our fellow community members who may be experiencing homelessness or a struggle in finding housing. I think that almost all of us can agree that housing is an issue, and that's the starting point. How do we solve that? And inviting the community to join us in this journey. Individuals often do come up against their desire to help each other and to ensure that we have sufficient housing to their desire to retain the community the way that it currently is. There's a lot that individuals love about Ward 4. In my experience as a school board trustee, where there's been a tension or a conflict between two desired outcomes, I have always found that there's a compromise. And I truly believe that when we sit down with community members, we work together towards a common goal. How do we find housing, or how do we create sufficient housing while also maintaining the essence of our neighborhood that we love? I believe that those solutions can come about together. I believe that when individuals are given an opportunity to participate in the process as opposed to being told, that they are more invested in the shared outcome. They're more invested in those solutions and feel that they've had the opportunity to have their voice heard, to have their concerns addressed. And oftentimes, community members are able to come up with solutions that were not necessarily envisioned previously.
There are four LRT stops planned within Ward 4. The provincial policy statement, Ontario's de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT stations as major transit station areas. In short, this is where density will be built. What is your vision for major transit areas, and how will you implement that vision?
I just want to start by saying that this is such a fabulous question. A few years ago, I was visiting a school, and the student project was on students' vision for transit areas. And the students had created cardboard cutouts of bus stops. These students envisioned bus stops with areas to charge your iPhones, areas for parents to breastfeed their children, areas where they envisioned produce being sold and ensuring that the transit areas were fully accessible. They were bright and colorful and had artistic features. It was very exciting to see this work. And so when I hear this question, it brings me back to that memory. I know that I've been repetitive in many of my questions, community council, community council, community council. But it is taking that vision back to the community. When I look around the world, there are transit areas that are absolutely spectacular, and they've become a spot where it is a cultural hub, where there is art representing the community. whether it be a subway station or perhaps a train station. These are exciting sites. And I think that if we invite the community to be a part of that design, what does our community mean? What do these transit stops mean? What is the history? What is the future of this stop? What are the physical needs that we have for the stop? So who's going to be entering here? And just like the kids brought up, how do we meet the needs of mothers? How do we meet the needs of individuals who may need to charge their devices before they get on the bus? It's inviting the public to be a part of that vision and having them be excited about public works.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 4. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide 3 detailed specifics of your plan.
When you review the transit reports for the city of Hamilton, there's clearly marked areas where there are traffic concerns in Ward 4, so in the north end, as well as on the on and off ramps to the Red Hill, and where we've had a number of accidents, collisions resulting in injury and death and damage to personal property. Looking at these issues that are in Ward 4 as well as across the city, and especially this past spring and summer, there has been a real focus in the community and in the media on the many accidents involving pedestrians and fatalities involving pedestrians. We want to ensure we have safe streets. And that begins with acknowledging the areas where there are heightened concerns. It also involves looking at behavior that contributes to accidents. And it involves inviting the community to have solutions. When I talk to Ward 4 residents, individuals around Ottawa Street discuss how there's only one stoplight between Main Street and Barton. And as a result, there is faster traffic moving. You hear residents are in that area talking about how they would like a bike lane. They talk about a variety of measures that they believe would help slow traffic and reduce accidents. Going back to the vision of having a community council and inviting the community to be a part of the discussion, I firmly believe that the residents have very sound knowledge of what they understand the concerns to be and very detailed ideas about what some of the solutions should be. I haven't spoken to every resident in Ward 4 yet. I do believe that if we invite the community to be a part of discussing and identifying the concerns, as well as discussing and identifying the solutions, that we can develop a plan that we are fully satisfied with. That plan needs to include structural changes. That might include additional stoplights or stop signs and road bumps. It might include additional bike lanes and other traffic calming measures. We also can invite the public to be a part of identifying solutions to help change behavior, working with provincial and even federal organizations, and looking around the world to what solutions are being found to be effective in other communities and consider introducing those measures here.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before council for a decision. With this in mind, how will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading will you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
Starting with the principle that of collective leadership, working with a community council, working with community, that these decisions can and should be made collectively, and trusting that by engaging community, you can arrive at healthy decision-making. City councilors can access professional development opportunities through provincial and federal municipal associations. I also believe in the value of working with individuals and learning from individuals and being mentored by individuals who have previously filled this role. So reaching out to former city councilor, current city councilor, Sam Marula, working with my current mentor, David Christofferson, who is not only the former MP for a portion of Ward 4, but is also a former Ward 4 city councilor, working with other elected individuals who have fulfilled this role previously, who have been reelected. At the same time, recognizing that part of what's being asked for in this election is some change. Part of what is being asked for is new ideas. One of the greatest lessons I learned this past term as a school board trustee is that the rules and practices that you have always followed do not always serve you. And so in that sense, it's also to turn to community organizations. Empowerment Squared was a very significant organization that I worked with this past term, working with a whole variety of community associations and organizations that are perhaps not traditionally connected with City Hall, and finding out from them how we can make City Hall a place that we all feel a part of.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
Ensuring a high level of public engagement and ensuring that we have multi-year strategic plans. When I look at some of the strategic plans, housing being one of them, that is inviting the community to comment on those strategic plans. It is inviting the community to ensure that we have detailed goals so that we can measure outcomes and to ensure frequent reporting on those outcomes.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Housing is a top priority. When we have a door that we can lock behind us, when we have a roof over our head, when we have a place to call home, it improves the quality of life. So ensuring that we have a proper housing supply here in Hamilton to meet a whole variety of needs, that the focus on housing is, I would say, my first priority in terms of improving the quality of life. Second quality of life would be the ability to access the services that already exist. Here in Hamilton, there are a great variety of services. Many times individuals feel that they are not able to access those services. Individuals feel that you have to know someone in order to get your needs met. Individuals feel that you have to know someone in order to get your needs met. I need to know someone at City Hall in order to have my building permit approved. I need to know somebody at City Hall in order to have access to housing. I need to know somebody at City Hall in order to have a concern around my garbage pickup met. And when we improve access to services where individuals feel that they can just pick up the phone and be able to have their concern resolved, that also improves quality of life.
It's 2026. The Public Record is writing a review of the 4-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council? And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
So I'm going to have one word. And the word that I hope will describe both my term on council as well as the to describe council as a whole is collaborative. It is my hope that by the end of the term, that Ward 4 residents feel that they were able to participate in local decision making. It is my hope that they will see a city council that worked together, that although there may be disagreements on specific solutions or specific outcomes, that they have confidence in the process itself, that they have confidence that they had a say in local matters, and that council worked collectively together in order to resolve needs across Hamilton and by extension the needs within their own specific wards.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share? How do people learn more about your platform and get in contact with you?
They can go to www.johnstone2022.ca.
This has been episode 110 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.